Check. Everybody's doing well today and staying as dry and warm as possible. It still is wintertime. Amen? Hang on. I think somebody said we're supposed to get a little snow later on. Is that what I'm hearing? Yeah, later on this week? So here's, let me tell you how many of y'all want snow? How many of you don't? Wow. Boy, I'd have to count that if I was, so okay, if you don't, then just hope for it because it won't happen. Because ask all those who understand that want snow. It's just, it'll be a little bit pitiful around here. But at any rate, here's the one thing I can tell you that I know 100% for sure. You know what that is? It's going to do whatever God wants it to do. And it doesn't matter what we think. We might as well just enjoy it when it comes along, right? As for me, I'll take a good old deep snow. Hey, listen, look at somebody, give them a wave and a real smile that shows the joy of the Lord that says, we're glad that you're here. If you're part of our online viewing audience today, be sure to say hello to our one and only very own Dr. Cazito, who is back there keeping track of those that are part of our online audience today. I appreciate him so much, love him dearly, and I don't think there's anybody who does a better job at following along. How many of y'all here have ever watched online? Don't you love how Doc does things back there? I mean, he'll keep you up to date. Even if you miss anything, you could pick it up along the way in the comments. But appreciate him so well. But we're glad that you're here today as we strive to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. And we're just going to pray. We're going to ask God to give us a great day together around his word. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you, we're grateful and thankful for these moments that we have to be able to come together and Lord, just to be a part of the family of God. And as we've come in, Lord, we've had the opportunity to just put smiles on our faces and see those that that just make us smile, that we know, that we love, and that are just part of the family of God, number one, but Lord, also part of the Central Baptist Church family. And Lord, what a blessed just relief it is for us as we have this time and opportunity to gather together. So Lord, right now, we just pray that you will help us as we lift our voices in song. Lord, as we come around your throne in prayer, Lord, as we gather around your word, help us, Father, to not allow the outside world to penetrate this opportunity that you've given us today to be able to worship. Lord, I'm praying that you will help us to hear differently than we've ever heard, that we might be drawn close to you. Lord, we pray that if there's a lost soul that is within the sound of my voice anywhere today, Lord, that as they hear your word, that they will be convicted by the Holy Spirit, that they would give their life to you, and that there would truly be rejoicing of all the saints in heaven because that soul gave their life to you. And then, Father, for those who know you, I pray that they will be drawn closer to you this very day because we've had the opportunity to be in your presence in a special way. So, Father, bless our time and bless all that we do, and may it honor and glorify you as we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.
Good morning. Please turn with me to 56. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Please stand with me as we sing.
Thank you.
We have a sister Baptist church in the area who's loaned us some music that we'll be singing out of for a while, and that's our first one, so grateful. If you would please turn with me to 238, Breathe On Me.
Oh, he's here.
remember growing up on that. How many of y'all grew up on that one? Good one, isn't it? If I keep all my stuff up here, we'll be doing good. Today, we're actually going to be looking at passages that are going to come out of John's Gospel, chapter 15. So if you have your Bible, I want to encourage you to go there. As always, you know, I know that we live in the age of technology, and you know, it's easy to have a device, but how many of y'all still prefer to hold your Bible that has pages in it? Now, don't get me wrong, we're not saying anything bad about those who don't, but I've always been that way as well, because, you know, I can sit there and write, make notes in this thing, and it's gotten to be where she looks like an old dish rag now when you hold it open. But now I do use technology, because the older I get, the worse my eyes are, so I can blow it up over here. But I always have my fail safe right here. But I do want to encourage you, as you have your Bible, remember when we used to, we used to get a little star or something like that when we brought our Bible to Sunday school? Yeah, I encourage you to kind of have that with you. But today, we're actually going to be looking at some passages that are very telling out of John's Gospel in chapter 15. I'm going to kind of back work this verse. I want to use a particular verse as a text, but before I do, I want to preface this. I remember, you know, growing up, maybe it was nostalgia week. I don't know what it is, but whether it was at church, whether it was at Sunday school, a lot of times maybe, you know, at VBS or something like that, we used to sing a song, and some of you all remember. Now, if I could sing, I would sing it for you, but if I do, then people would be turning off their feeds, and y'all would be holding your ears. But how many of y'all remember the song, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart? Down in my heart. Yeah, yes, I see those hands. So you all remember that. Remember we used to sing it. It was that peppy little song, and it was fun to sing. Yeah, and remember how it would go? Yeah, I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Remember, and there were several verses with that. Boy, I wish I could sing. I'd lead you in it, but I can't. But at least I can get you there in thought, because that's one of the things that we want to discuss today from God's Word. Now, I'm going to go ahead and give you what if I were to be a, I don't know, a professor today and tell you what the text verse is for today. It comes out of the book of John, chapter 15, and it's verse 11. If you go down with me to verse 11, it says this. It says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Now, I want us to think about that for a minute, because there's a lot to be said in that particular verse. When we talk about joy, the Word of God tells us the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, why did that kind of just slap me this week? Part of the reason why is because, yeah, when you watch many Christians today, it kind of makes you wonder why there seems to be so little joy among God's people today. I mean, is it just me? Do y'all know what I'm talking about? The joy just doesn't seem to be there, even with God's people. I mean, I can remember times, and particularly, I can think of places overseas right now. And I've shared this with you before on those mission trips, where you could almost just look at somebody and say, that person's a believer. That one's not. That one is. Not, 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 not. That one is. That one's not. You know why? Because you could see the expressions of joy in their life, even if you never spoke to them. Even if you never talked to them, there was something different. And people say, well, what's different about them? I have the answer to that, and it's a biblical one. You know why? Because the for the believer, our spirit bears witness one with another. When you get in the presence of other believers, the Holy Spirit lets you know that. Isn't that cool? I mean, I think that's one of the really neat things. And unless you've seen it on the level like I have, to where you haven't even had to speak to somebody, and you could tell it, you knew it. And it wasn't some magical thing. It was the Holy Spirit is what it is, bearing witness one with another. So the problem seems that today, God's people don't have the joy like we should, or like the word tells us that we should. Now think about it again. Go back to that verse 11 for a minute, because there's a couple of things in there that we want to point out. One of them, it says, these things I have spoken to you, and by the way, these are words in red, which means this is Christ speaking. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you. Remain in us? If it says that my joy might remain in you, then that means that the joy can be lost, doesn't it? Notice what that says. Once again, these things I have spoken to you that my joy, that's Christ speaking, my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. He doesn't want to give it to us in just a little bit. He wants us to be a joyful people, to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Not just, you know, as we look today, I've just watched and it's almost so telltale. I wish I could just have the words to describe it the way that I see it. And I know that you see it as well. It's just different now, even with God's people. See, we seem to have everything figured out except how to be joyful. How many of y'all know some cranky people in your life? I see all those hands. Yeah, I've said this before. Not sitting beside you, right? I've seen this before. You know, when we look at these types of situations and you sit back and you're like, why is it that it just seems like there are joy suckers in your life? They just suck all the joy right out of your life. Whether it's at work, whether it's just somebody that you know, and you don't even want to really be around them. Because, I mean, literally when you see him, it's like, oh. Help me, Jesus. Help me through this. And I've said this so many times. That lack of joy can rub off on you. It can mess your whole day up, can't it? But in the same way, expressing that joy, the true joy, I'm not talking about putting it on. I'm not talking about having it as a facade, because we're all Academy Award-winning actors when it comes down to things like this. We hide so many things that others don't know. How you doing? I'm fine. How are you? No, inside you're crumbling. You're falling apart. And yet we hide those things. So let's talk about that joy for a few minutes. This morning, as we think about, first of all, I want to tell you some things that joy is not, okay? You know that you haven't got the joy. Notice I said haven't got the joy when these are things that are taking place in your life. And the first thing is that you're constantly complaining. Oh, listen, it got quiet. You could hear a pin drop in here. You know, we've all had our tirades, haven't we? Rah, rah, rah. You know, we're complaining about everything. You start the day off that way, and it just snowballs and gets worse and worse and worse. You know, something happened. You cut yourself, you know, shaving, and then you were mad, and then you didn't like how breakfast was fixed, and then the traffic was horrible, and the car needed gas, and now you're going to be late, and then you start taking it out on everybody, and you complain, complain, complain. And confession's good for the soul, so everybody who's done that said, we've all been there. And we also know what it's like to be on the receiving end of those complaints. Usually it comes with, what side of the bed did you wake up on? You know, what is your problem? So notice what I said. That is a mark of showing when you haven't got the joy of the Lord in your heart. You complain. What else is a sign that you haven't got the joy? See, you're often withdrawn from spiritual life, and not only in spiritual life, but just life in general. You just sit back and withdraw. And I know everybody tries to make that this wonderful thing. You say, well, I'll tell you one thing, I'm nasty today. I'm just going to get away from everybody, because if I'm around somebody, I'm going to say something I shouldn't say. And maybe that's right, but why are you that way? You start to withdraw. You withdraw spiritually, and you know what? All of a sudden, you don't feel like going to church. You don't feel like going to Sunday school. You don't feel like going to small groups. Why? Because what happened, and you, Satan, listen, let me tell you, Satan is going to hand you this lie. Satan's going to tell you, you don't want to be there because in the mental condition you're in, you're just going to snap on somebody and that's not going to be good. So you're just better to stay away. Let me tell you something. That is a lie straight from the pits of hell. Because the place you need to be is in the presence of God's people. The place that you need to be is where God's people can be there to minister to, for, and with you. It's a place where there can be checks and balances. But no, Satan says, well, you better not go because the way you are, you're going to snap on somebody. And then you know what it's like. When you come in, you can't seem to find anything good. Well, the coffee's cold. What's with this powdered cream? Don't we have half and half? What's going on here? Why is this room is cold? What's going on? These seats are too hard. Somebody's done worn the fabric out in the pew. And it just goes on and on and on. I don't like that preacher's shirt, man. It's got stripes. And where is his tie? What is wrong with the choir? Is somebody going to hold the door open for me? Listen, we've all been there, haven't we? Every last one of us. We don't come in with the right heart. We're not there to express the joy of the Lord. And let me tell you what happens. Satan walks right into church with you, and he hands you all those excuses, and he wants you to go away saying, I'm just not coming back anymore. The preacher didn't speak to me and shake my hand. This didn't happen and that didn't happen. Listen, there are 1,000 reasons that Satan will hand you to suck the joy straight out of your life if you let him. Did you hear what I said? If you let him. So you're not expressing the joy when you have withdrawn from your spiritual life or life in and of itself. You're not experiencing the joy when you are frequently angry. And you know what I'm talking about. There's people in your life that are just, you're like, man, they're just angry all the time. They don't ever seem to smile. You never seem to get a break from them. Are you that person? You know, it is so easy for us to sit in church and go, amen, preacher, preach. And you're going elbowing your neighbor or your wife or your husband or whatever. That's you. Listen, man, just remember, when you start pointing a finger, there's three pointing right back at you. We're all real good at thinking the sermon's for somebody else. But how does it fit with us personally today? How does that fit me? Listen, I know I have been every one of these categories. Where do you think they came from? Thus saith Roy, I have lived them. And let me tell you, it's a never-ending thing to make sure that you don't fall back into it. It takes a conscious effort not to do these things because it's so easy to fall into them. You know that you don't have the joy when you are constantly frustrated. We like to use that word, don't we? I'm not mad, I'm frustrated. How many of y'all understand frustration? I'm frustrated. I just don't like it. That is not an element of the joy of the Lord. It's not. How about when you are seldom grateful? Hey, listen, I knew you were having a tough day, and I know you love coffee, so I brought you this nice cup of coffee. It's cold. Give me a cup of cold coffee for? You didn't even put any cream in it? You've been on the receiving end of that. I'm going to be kind to you. You've been on the receiving end of that, haven't you? And I know what you thought. See if I ever bring you a cup of coffee ever again. And then what you did was instead of accepting something somebody did that was nice and kind for you because they were thinking about you, by the way, you ought to be glad somebody was thinking about you. That somebody cared enough, that took time and effort and energy and spent money. Crazy, man. $5 for a cup of coffee nowadays. When you sit back, I give you a cup of coffee and you tell me it's cold and don't have the right cream on it. I say, that'll be $5.50 then. Teach you to be grateful. Come on, man. See, now that we have discovered what it's not, let's talk for just a minute about the fact of what we mentioned before, that you can lose it. You can lose the joy of the Lord. How do we lose the joy of the Lord? Well, we lose it to our own self. Now, people are sitting there going, okay, you're sounding a little confusing. Let me just bring it right down to brass tacks. See, what happens is when we become self-centered, you see, self-centeredness is incredibly common, isn't it? Looking out for number one. It's all about me. I'm number one. I'm the one who's in play. See, self-centeredness in all forms is the enemy of joy. I will make you that promise. If you are a self-centered person, then joy is hard to find. You know why? Because you think that everybody and everything is about you. And it's not. We've been there before. You know what it's like to be selfish and stingy. You remember what it was like when you were growing up and mama said, now you've got to share. You had that cookie and you broke off a little pinch and handed it to your brother or your sister, and you were trying to look out after number one. You wanted the biggest part of that cookie. Self-centeredness will rob you of joy. And see, here's another thing. A focus on circumstances. Now, I have been preaching for years on this. And I'm going to keep on preaching on this. And you can, if you need to, you can turn me off for a minute. Because why do I keep preaching this? Because it is so prevalent. Circumstances. Remember we talked about circumstantial faith? See, our faith should never be based on our ever-changing circumstances, because there are days when you're up and there are days when you're down. But let me make you a promise. God is always steady and consistent 100% of the time. He's right there. We should not allow the circumstances of our life to dictate the joy of our life. Now, I want you to hold that thought for a minute, because joy and happiness are two different things. And some of y'all went, I'm getting there. Just hang on. Remember what I said? We should not allow our ever-changing circumstances to dictate the joy in our life. Because if we do, then we are allowing the things of our life to create the joy of our life. And remember what we said a moment ago? The joy that we have comes from the Master, who is never changing. Thank God he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Who is a good example of that? Let's think about that for a minute. How about Paul? Remember Paul in the Bible? Remember Paul? I mean, to me, one of the greatest illustrations of that was when Paul and Silas were out preaching, got themselves in trouble because they were doing the right thing, got themselves arrested, got themselves thrown into prison, got themselves down in the middle of a dungeon. And they had been beaten. In fact, man, they had stripes across their back because they had been put into prison. And what did they do? Did they get up and say, I ain't doing this no more. I don't care what Jesus said. I'm not going to preach anymore. I'm not doing that. Forget it. Look, all I've done is be a good person. I have walked the walk, and I've talked the talk, and here I am. Oh, God, look at me. We've become a bunch of whiny hinies. Is that what Paul did? Is that what Silas did? No, let me tell you what Paul and Silas did. Paul and Silas began to sing hymns to the Lord. Why? Yeah, was their back bleeding? Yep. You think it hurt? Yep. You think they enjoyed the shackles? Nope. But all those were circumstances. And in the middle of those circumstances, they did the greatest thing that any of us can do. They began to praise the Lord. And in the midst of that, God did something incredible. There was a bunch of other prisoners that were listening to what was going on. And all of a sudden, they thought, that's a pretty catchy tune. I'm going to sing along with. Could you imagine a prison choir as they probably joined in with Paul and Silas? Now, I can tell you it was a wonderful time. You want me to tell you how I can tell you it was a wonderful time? Because we also know that the scripture tells us that the earth began to shake and the prison doors came open and the shackles and the chains fell off of not only Paul and Silas, but all the other prisoners. And the guard comes out, he sees what's going on, he's like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble now. By the way, we all know, history tells us that if an escape took place on a centurion's watch, the penalty for that was death. So what he did was he took out his sword, he was going to take his own life, and Paul's like, whoa, stop, whoa, what are you doing, man? And I'm sure that the guard was going, who is that? Well, that's me, Paul. It's all cool. Listen, don't harm yourself. Not only am I and Silas here, everybody's here. Nobody's left. You're not in danger. Put your sword up. You don't have to kill yourself. We're all here. We're all present and accounted for. See, there was such a great thing of God that was going on there that those guys didn't even want to leave prison. When is the last time that we had an experience that was so great that we didn't even want to leave the mess because God showed up in the mess, and the mess was a great place to be. Think about that. I want to tell you this, and I know it's no surprise to a lot of you. Christianity's messy. But you know what else is messy? Marriage is messy. Family is messy, isn't it? Remember back a few years back, I preached a sermon on mud. That's a real theological breakthrough. Mud. Why? Because I can remember times that, you know, I'd go, you know, pick Blake up from practice or whatever, nasty, dirty, you know, all of a sudden, the whether it's mud or dirt or, you know, they leave them old practice clothes in the car or something. You get in, you're like, oh. Mud all over the dashboard, and you're sitting there going, confound, Yosemite Sam, confounded frickin' fracking, no good, low down, dirty double cross. This thing's a mess. Let me fast forward. You see, if there was no mud on the dash, there was no Friday night football. If there was no mud in the floorboards, there was no joy of being able to be there and be a part of coaching my son's team and being a part of those boys' lives and all those kind of things. Life is messy. Do you hear me? Get your mop bucket and look like Carol Burnett. Sweep her up, baby. And when it gets dirty again, get you another bucket. And keep on mopping, and thank God for it. Let me tell you why. Because one day the floor will stay clean. One day the car will stay clean. And you'll wonder what happened. Life's messy. Where's the joy? See, when we're focused on our circumstances, the joy's not going to be there. It'll suck it right out of you. How about general negativity? See, the child of God always has a reason to be positive. Always. 24/7. Because we're strangers and aliens in this land. This is not our home. We have a reason to be positive. Sometimes we have to look for it, don't we? But make sure we look for it. Then happens a spirit of rebellion sucks the joy out of us. See, you ever noticed a rebellious child's never a happy one? Oh, by the way, you're a child of the king. Are you a rebellious child of the king? That'll suck the joy right out of you. A spirit of rebellion. General negativity. Concerned with just happiness. See, happiness is often the enemy of joy. And y'all are going, happiness? Joy? Aren't they the same thing? No, they're not. Happiness is often the enemy of joy. Because you can chase happiness and never have joy. And we'll get there in just a minute. You can be happy with one. Have you ever noticed that people that are doing that run from thing to thing to thing? They'll do something that makes them happy, and then when it's over with, so what they're doing, they're looking for the next thing that's going to make them happy, happy, happy. That's not joy. Joy is 24/7. You can find happiness in a lot of places and still miss the boat when it comes to joy. And then there's basic disobedience. Just flat out disobeying the Lord. See, obedience is the pathway to happiness. Plain and simple. A disobedient spirit is always joyless. Have you ever noticed that? And what you talk to somebody who's been around in life a while, and you ask them, say, what is the most important thing? It's to be joyous. I want to be joyous. I've heard that from kids. Phyllis Anders' grandson said that one time. And I know what he meant. He meant joy. He said happy. People, well, what do you want to do when you grow up? I want to be a fireman. I want to be a police officer. And what did Wilson say? I want to be happy. But he meant joy. That's what he meant. And I was like, that right there is what it's all about. See, oftentimes what we're doing is we're making substitutions in our lives when it comes to joy. So what are the things that we are substituting for joy? Happiness is one of them. I mentioned that a moment ago. How about mindlessness? You know, we're like, I don't know what's going on. We just want to be that mushroom over in the corner. No, that's not what God wants from us. See, another thing that we're substituting is activity. If I can be so busy, if I just keep doing stuff, oh, everything's going to be good. I'm going to be happy if I can just have all this activity in my life. When you have children that have to have a day timer to work their day out, there's a problem. Activity. I am so thankful to God I grew up in the day and age that I grew up in. No cell phones, no computers. What'd we have? The riverbank, rocks, and buddies. It was a cool day when we shot BB guns at each other. Parents didn't know about that. Sorry, Mom. Yeah. We wore goggles. It was all right. We wanted to make sure nobody got an eye put out. We wore goggles, but hey, we rode bicycles. Man, Mom couldn't get us in the house. You can't get kids out of the house now. Activity. We substitute activity for joy. How about acquisition? Oh, the more I have, the more joyous I'm going to be. And all of a sudden, people get all this stuff, and it doesn't make them any more joyful, does it? And then, I say the haves and the have-nots. The have-nots say, if I just had some of what the haves have, then I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. Because joy is a way of life. See, we're also trying to substitute relationships with joy or for joy. That doesn't work either. Maybe I've touched on some that maybe you in your life right now are trying to substitute and to bring joy into your life. If you are, none of those are going to work. So in these last few minutes, remember what I said a minute ago, I said I'm going to backwork this text today. So remember what we said in that particular verse is, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be fulfilled. Now notice that said, these things. Okay, leading into that particular verse are the these things that he's talking about. So let's go back up and go to the beginning of our text at verse 1. Where it reads like this, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, He is as cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So what is the secret to keeping that joy in your life? Number one, it's understanding God's pruning that we read about there in verse 2. You know, notice what it says. If we can think about it in this regard, particularly fruit trees, if fruit trees are pruned, man, you sit there and think, that's got to be hurting that tree. You know, you'll see the guy out there and he's snipping all these limbs off of it and everything. And then the next year, that tree produces not just what it produced the previous year, but it produces even more fruit. Folks, you and I need to cooperate with God's pruning. We don't like it when God prunes us, do we? We're like, ouch, man, that hurt. And God says, I'm doing this that you might bring forth even more fruit. Cooperate with the pruning. If you really want joy, that's one of the places it comes from. Another place it comes from is holiness, continuing to pursue the Father. Now, I could preach another whole sermon on the next one, but it's abiding in him. Go back and look at those passages around verse 4. It says, abide in me, and I in you. You know what it means to abide in something? It means to consistently and steadily be there. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Folks, I'm not the smartest man in the world, and I'm not the greatest theologian out there, but you know what that tells me? He's given us an example. And one thing that I know in time is that if I go out to a living a tree or branch, and I break something off of it, and I set it over there, what happens to it? It dies. Why does it die? I mean, we don't have to get real technical. You don't have to be Bill Nye, the science guy, to figure this one out. The reason it dies is because it no longer gets nutrients from the source. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down on the spiritual side of things? When you and I are no longer connected to the Lord, when we are not abiding in him, we are like a branch that has been broken off. You're not getting nourishment. You're not getting sustenance. And when that happens, you wither up and die. And for some of us, we haven't been connected to the vine for a long time. You're all brown and crunchy. Oh, but there's good news. There have been some people in my life that could grow stuff. Y'all have people like that in your life? I'm not. I could kill stuff in a heartbeat. Give me something, it'll be dead in a week. You could give some people I know some dead plants, and they're going to resurrect them from the dead, and they're going to be flourishing. And I never could figure this one out, but have you ever noticed, you could take a rose bush, and if you cut a branch off of a rose bush, and you just lay it up there on the deck rail out in the sun, it's going to die. But if you take it and you actually dig a hole and put the end of that stem down in the hole, that rose bush will begin to grow. It will sprout. It will grow roots. It will come back to life. Y'all know what I'm talking about? This is yes. This is no. Y'all with me? It'll do that. But the only way it will is that it has to be in contact with what will give it the nourishment and the strength to live. See the light bulb up here? On the spiritual side of things, if you and I are not connected to the Master, we're going to die. The joy is going to go. How do we stay connected to the Master? This. Making that time for him and saying, Lord, you are the most important thing. So if my schedule is too busy for this, then your priorities are jacked up. Yeah, I used to see these things that said something like devotions, like 1 minute with God. And that used to irritate me. You know why? I thought, if you can't give God more than 1 minute, you got a problem. How's your prayer life? What are you learning? Are you attached? Or are you just brown and dried up? You just walked in dead as a doornail. If somebody lit a match around you, you're going to go up in flame. Oh, you hide it real good. We painted ourselves green when we came in today. Look, I'm flourishing. Deep down inside, you're all brown and fuzzy and crunchy. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Is that pretty clear? He is saying it is impossible to thrive and flourish if you're not connected. If you're not connected to him. See, he went on to say, he is the source. Look at verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. I love that. Not only bears fruit, bears what? Much fruit. A lot of fruit. I've always said this. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Does that sound like your life? And some of us went, no. I got one or two of them sometimes, but all of those make up the fruit of the Spirit. And I will promise you'll never have them unless you're abiding in him. You see, when you're abiding in him, you complain less. You praise more. You look for the good. You count your blessings. I'm old school. That old hymn that's meant so much to me, because I find myself that way as well. Sometimes I can go on a tirade. Ask Jana. And then you got to sit back and go, ugh. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. If you want to get out of that funk, start counting your blessings. Start looking at what God's done for you. And then you're going, oh, yeah. It will change your perspective. I promise it will change your perspective. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Like I said, not the greatest theologian in the world, but let me make it very, very clear that you won't make it without him. It's plain and simple. So if you really want joy, this is where it comes from. It comes from God's pruning. It comes from holiness. It comes from abiding in him. It comes from exposure to Scripture. It comes from answers to prayer. It comes from a sense of God's love towards you and I. It comes from basic obedience. And it comes from real fruit bearing. If you want joy in your life, I want to encourage you to mark this chapter. I want to encourage you to go back and study it. And I want to encourage you to be connected to the Master. Because when you do, here's what I found out. That when you are, you don't have time to complain. You don't want to complain. When you're doing the right thing, when you are obedient to the Master, it's a good day. Every day. And even when the joy suckers show up in your life, and they will, you just smile and say, in good Southern country fashion, God bless their heart. And that gave you something else to be thankful for. Lord, I'm thankful that I'm not like him or her. And you go on with life. Living the joy of the Lord. And remember what this another scripture in the Word says. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You want to get strong? Then you're going to have to pick up something heavy. You're going to have to exercise in this. You're going to have to understand what it's like to be forgiving. So many people at times are sitting back going, man, I don't know how Paul and Silas did it. I don't either. I wasn't there, and I'm not going to sit back and even remotely act like I know how they could do it. If somebody done beat me, I'm going to be praying them David prayers. Lord, send them alive to hell. Don't even kill them. That's what he did in Psalm 55. Let them go down to Sheol in the grave alive. That's what he was saying. That's what David was praying, Psalm 55. Send them to hell alive. I want to watch them burn. I want to go poof. And see, we get that was not what Paul and Silas were doing in the middle of that cell. See, their focus was on the Father. Isn't that cool? When you get your focus on the Father and you begin to seek real joy, you will find that the joy of the Lord truly is your strength. And I will go one step further to say this. Outside of Him, there is no real joy. Everything you're looking for will never be found. Brad, I'm going to ask you guys to take your place for our invitation, because that brings me to the next question. There have been people all their life that have been searching to fulfill. They've been looking for joy. They've been looking for happiness. You talk to somebody that has a little less tread on their tires in this day and age, and you know what they'll say? You say, well, what's one thing that would just change your life? It's not money. They don't seek money. You know what they're seeking? They're seeking joy and happiness over money. Because they've learned a few things along life's way. Because money can't buy you either one of those. Won't happen. Some people say, well, I sure would like to give it a try. Well, it's not going to help. It's not going to happen. The only joy that can be found in life is through Jesus Christ. So my question for each and every one of you today, as well as our viewing audience, is this. Do you really have Him? I'm not asking you if you have a form of religion. I'm not asking you how many perfect attendance stars you had in Sunday school. I'm not asking you if you have your name on a pew. I'm asking you if you know Jesus. That's a completely different situation. Have you trusted Him? Has there been the time in your life when you have come face to face with your sin and you have gone to the Master and said, Lord, I understand today, I confess to You that I'm a sinner. And Lord, I need a Savior. I can't do it in and of myself. So Father, please forgive me. I believe what Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross to save my soul. So Lord, I am no longer mine, but I am Yours. Save my soul. Lord, help me to live for You. See, it's kind of interesting. There's a lot of people who go through the motions. They say the prayer. They do those things. But you know what the Bible also says? The Bible says, those who know Me will do what My Word says. There's a really good litmus test. Those who do the will of the Father. Now, you're not saved by works. Don't y'all go getting crazy on me. I didn't say that. Because you're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works. But let me make you this promise. When you trust Jesus, you'll have the desire to serve and to follow Him. I love what I do. I hadn't had a job in 30-some years. I don't work for a living. I'm just called. Personnel don't take that too seriously now. I still have some bills to pay. But have you trusted Jesus? That is the number one question. The most important question ever. Have you trusted Him? If not, would you do that today? And if you're sitting there saying, yeah, I want to, but how? Listen, real quick and simple, meaningful. It's you saying, Lord, I do know I'm a sinner. I believe what Jesus did through the death, burial, and resurrection for me. Forgive me, Lord, and save my soul. And help me to live for You. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you honestly meant that in your life, there's rejoicing in heaven right now. Now, don't hide it under a bushel. We might look a little funky, but we want to celebrate with you. So when we have this time of invitation, just come up here and say, "Preacher, look, I just want you to know I trusted Jesus today." I mean, we're not going to make a spectacle out of you or anything, but we just want to celebrate. Don't rob us of that. Let us celebrate with you, okay? Maybe you're here today and you have been the most joyless person for a long time, and you know it. The Holy Spirit told you. You have been the king of complaint. You have been the king of whatever else on that list of negativity that we talked about. In everything, your personal life, your marriage, your kids, your family, your job, your church. That's not a cool place to be. You really don't want to be there. But the Lord says, "I forgive." Let's start over. Let's reconnect. Because I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me and I in you. There's your start right there. I guarantee it'll change your life. Now, there's some things that you need to give to him during this particular time of invitation. You know him. You know, maybe you hadn't been talking with him for a while. Maybe today's a good day to strike up the conversation and the friendship and the relationship again. Then I'm going to ask you to do that. As we take this time of our invitation, it's just a time for you to do business. Well, do it right now. Don't let Satan say, "Well, hurry up, because if you do something, it's going to extend things, and everybody's belly's growling. I heard my neighbor over there, and they're going to be mad at you, because if you go down and talk to the preacher, they're going to go, no, that's the most important thing. And by the way, we're old-fashioned around here, so this altar is still here. If you need that time with the master at the altar, there it is. If you need me, I'm here as Brad comes to lead us and as we sing our invitation hymn. Would you stand with me? Can you truly sing that as an anthem of your heart? Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Do you believe that? Is that your prayer right now? Jesus paid it all. You continue to see him. If they would make their way down as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to him. And as they make their way down here, we do ask especially that you continue to lift Georgie Queen in your prayers in the homegoing of her father. So we'll give you a little bit more data and details on that. But do pray for Georgie as she goes through this tough and challenging time. Let's pray together. Father, you're good to us. And Lord, all provision comes from you. We're grateful and thankful in the way, Lord, that you have just moved in our hearts and our lives. And Father, forgive us where we're not thankful for the things that we take for granted. But Lord, every good thing comes from you. Help us, Father, as we give back to you that tithe and that portion that you have so richly blessed us with, as we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, Vicki. Just a couple things, and we'll get you guys moving. Today, as far as, or actually this week, as far as celebrating of birthdays, that'll be our very own Dave Smith, as well as Ken Allred, are celebrating birthdays tomorrow, and yours truly. I actually have a birthday tomorrow. I've completed another trip around the sun. Looking forward to yet another one. So you got me, Ken, and Dave celebrating birthdays tomorrow, and then on Tuesday, Carson West will be getting another year older and 26? The 6th. 26?
He will be 6.
He'll be 6. Okay. He's a big 6, you know, in case you're looking. Now, he's actually, that's where they would want him to be. He's at that tough age. Y'all pray for Angel. She's probably going to have a nervous breakdown as we, a couple more of those. That, you know how I did. That's with Mama. But anyway, be sure to wish those folks a happy birthday. Don't have any anniversaries that we see coming up for this week. But also, just a couple things, a reminder. Out in the narthex, that's the fancy way of saying vestibule, right out through those doors, is the Lottie Moon Post Office. In there are your year-end statements of giving for the year 2022. So this is the last day to be able to pick those up. Those are going to be mailed out afterwards. You could save us a lot in regard to postage. If you're here, please stop by and pick up your annual statement of giving in the Lottie Moon Post Office. And on top of that, there are still some Christmas cards that you guys must not like getting cards, because I see people here that have cards sitting back there on top of the Lottie Moon Post Office. Stop by and get them. David always had the greatest idea when it came down to that, because if you don't get them this week, me and David and Brad are going to open up all the cards, and we're going to take any gift cards or things like that, and we're going to have a really, really good lunch on you all, because we're not going to send them to you. So be sure to stop by there, look on the top of the box, and see if there's any cards that are in your name. Choir practice, 5 o'clock. today. Bible study in here, 6 o'clock p.m. Awana will be at its normal time of 5:30 p.m. Also, I call it my D-Life Bible study. That's a group I'm in. We will be meeting at 3:30. Band rehearsal at 7. No band rehearsal. Okay, no band rehearsal tonight. Just wanted to make sure. I was just seeing if Brad was alert. No band rehearsal tonight. And then, of course, the men's breakfast, that's every Wednesday at 10 o'clock a.m. at the Olympic Restaurant in Colfax. Great time that the guys have. And folks, listen, we need to just pray for each other. There's been a lot of sickness going around for the past several weeks. We've had another round of COVID that has gone through, I'm not going to call it our church, but people of our church that have had it. And once again, a whole lot of folks that are just now, you know, getting back on the rebound from that. Good to see some of them here that have been fighting the battle with COVID, but there's also flu, stomach stuff, all kinds of other things. And then once again, as I mentioned before, we want to pray for Georgie in the homegoing of her dad. Just been through a lot, girl. I said that's what the toughest woman I know right over there. But prayers are what helps in that regard. So we'll keep you posted on situation with any arrangements or anything that we may need to know. We'll keep you posted on that. And don't forget, Sandy's going to be having surgery this week. She's like me. There's two kinds of surgery, major and minor. It's minor if it's on somebody else. It's major if it's on you. But she's having a pretty major surgery coming up Thursday, this coming Thursday, where she is going to be having some vertebra infused. Is that what you call it? Fused, not infused. Fused. She's had this once before, but it was up a little bit higher. So it's going to be tough. You know, Randy gets to hear complete silence for about 6 weeks or so. Attaboy. But at any rate, we want to pray for Sandy because I know that's a pretty rough. Sounds like a pretty rough procedure as well as recovery. So we want to pray for Sandy. Keep her in our prayers. There are so many more people. BJ, we want to remember her. We'll try to drop by and look in on her today. Such a sweet lady, and we want to keep her in our prayers because God is still on the throne. Brother David, if you would mention anything else I've forgotten, and then see us off in a word prayer.
Also, Eddie Pegg's having surgery Tuesday. We expect him to be at breakfast Wednesday morning, but we're going to pray for all these people tonight before Bible study at 6 o'clock. If you want to come help us pray for them, we'd love for you to be here. Let me lead you in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much for the privilege we have of being in your house. God, we don't always exercise all the privileges that are ours, but this is a great privilege to be here and hear your word and sing your praises. Lord, thank you for the opportunity you give us to do that. God, as we go from this place, help us to attach ourselves permanently to the vine and then share the joy that comes from being there. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.